And I ask you in the name of Jesus to pour out your Spirit like never before. Lord, till all have heard the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. In Ezekiel chapter 22, I want to look at verse 30. My message title today is Stand in the Gap. And more than ever, we need to get back to prayer. Jesus said, His house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. And it's one thing the church needs to do, not just ask for self, but for others, to intercede for the land. Our country needs healing. And truthfully, the believer needs to step up and step forth. Our families need prayer. I know that whenever I ask the question, how many have family members that need to be saved, it seemed like every family has somebody that needs a touch. To me, we need to step it up in this area of standing in the gap, to pray for those that are being oppressed, to pray, to seek His face, to ask the Lord what He wants to do in this time. And that means all of us. In Ezekiel 22, verse 30, it says this, For I sought for a man among them that they should make up a hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. What a sad indictment that God was looking for somebody to pray and intercede. There was a lot going on in the land. People were being oppressed. People were being misused, mistreated. And truthfully, where was the people of God? Where was the men and women of God? He was looking for somebody to stand in the gap to pray. To intercede means to argue on one's behalf, to mediate, to go between, to stand in the gap. We don't need to just talk about prayer, we need to do it. I'm calling you intercessors to begin to seek the Lord like never before, in that private place, in that secret place, that the Lord can reward you openly. We need more prayer bombarding heaven for those that are in leadership. As it says in 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 6, many of you know this portion of Scripture, that prayer and supplication with thanksgiving be made for all men, for kings and all that's in authority. On Sunday, I alluded to this portion of Scripture, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and reverence. I asked the congregation on Sunday, how many would like to live a quiet and peaceful life with all godliness and reverence? And I think that's a good way to live. That's something we should strive for, because this is good and acceptable in the Savior's eyes. But He's looking for a mediator. Jesus was our mediator here on earth. Now He's looking for men and women to stand in that gap, that prayers and intercession goes up for all men. Notice it says for all men in Timothy. That means your neighbors, your friends, your co-workers, maybe you go to school, those you go to school with. Our prayer life should continue to expand. The more influence we have, the more times we're around folks, we need to pray. You meet somebody, you have a co-worker, pray for them. Ask the Lord to work. But God's looking for that. For Israel's day, God couldn't find any. That's such a sad thing to say. Well, we need to pray again. There's been a lot of prayers offered over the years, but we need to bombard heaven, corporately as well as individually. Notice it says in Timothy there, kings and all those in authority. That means our governor, our president, those in the House and Senate. Now, one thing I will say this is we had an opportunity to pray for every single senator, every single person in the House of Representatives. We actually went line by line, name by name, in every state, in every district. So we know they're being prayed for, but we need to continue in that area. I want to live a quiet and peaceful life like many of you. This is acceptable before God. But today, more than ever, we need to seek the Lord. We need to seek Him for God's will. Now, we know that the will of God is all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. That is God's will in 1 Timothy 2, verse 4, that we start to live that and walk that out. But notice that His will needs to be fulfilled. It's thy will be done in earth. Then the church needs to be about its Father's business. I really believe this, that if every born-again believer just went out and witnessed to one person, it would make a serious impact in one day. We need to do that. Many times we get comfortable just coming to church or going to a Bible study or whatnot, but we need to be reaching out. We need to witness. We need to get back to that normal area of sharing our faith. that Jesus said, listen to me, I come in the volume of the book. Well, if he comes in a volume, then we need to encourage others to read that book, to cry out to him, to say, Lord, I need you. More than ever, I need the Holy Spirit to work. He helps our prayers. If you take notes, in Romans 8, verses 26 and 27, the Spirit helps our weaknesses, even at times when we don't know how to pray. And there's been many times in my life that I don't even know how to pray for a situation. But the Holy Spirit can intercede through you. It says in Romans, where groaning's too great for words, that it searches the hearts and lives, the minds of the Spirit. It makes intercession according to God's will. And I know that if we pray in the Spirit, it intercedes according to God's will, those prayers will be answered. That's why we need to have that. The Bible says no man can tame the tongue. That's why you get the Holy Ghost. He's the only one that can flow through you in that arena. In Romans 8, verse 27, the Spirit searches the deep things of God because it has the mind of God and intercedes accordingly. Well, if you intercede accordingly, it means it's covering the need exactly the way it needs to be done. That's a powerful thing. Too many times we use our own intellect, our own human reasoning to pray. And there are some things the Lord can tip us off, and we may see a need that's obvious. But what about the deep spiritual things, the things that the enemy tries to work through, or the demonic side that we need to come against? That's where praying in the Spirit is powerful. I want to encourage that. Spend time praying in your natural language and pray in the Holy Ghost. It unlocks those things. It makes God's will open and really being able to receive it. How many times we limit ourselves by our own understanding when God wants us to speak those things. What I appreciate about Jesus is that Jesus has interceded for us. And if there's anyone that you'd want praying for you, it would be the Lord. In Isaiah 53, verse 12, it talks about he was numbered with the transgressors, but he made intercession for them all. Even Jesus on the cross said, Father, not only did I pray for these, but all those you'll give me. I love that. Even in the garden when he was in agony, he was interceding for the world, that Jesus' prayers will be answered. It's amazing that when we agree with God in our conversation, touching anything, it shall be done. Now, you have to realize that Jesus understands everything. That if it's a selfish motive or selfish gain, I mean, is that if you just consume it on your own lust, you're not going to receive those things. But if you pray according to his will, man, there's power there. And I really believe this. If you live a life of servanthood and sacrifice, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed, his children beg bread. It's amazing to me how God brings all those things to your life. And the more you give with a heart of sincerity, God always gives back. You lack no good thing. I really believe we need to have a quest that we be more unselfish. In this world, there's selfishness everywhere. If we prefer others better than ourselves, I believe instantly we could see a world start to change. When I look at Jesus, how many said he was even denied things, that he kept himself from evil. The world was was running this way. But truthfully, excuse me. Truthfully, the world hated him, but he still sought after it. He was despised and rejected of men, yet he still went after the world. It's amazing to me that the way we treated Jesus isn't the way he treated us. He treated us with love and respect. Even when we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Many times our prayer life is really like salted or seasoned by what we're going through. When's the last time we prayed for somebody who persecuted you or mistreated you? Sometimes those flavors come out the way we're treated. Excuse me. When Jesus said, hey, pray for those who despitefully use you, it really shows that we're children of God. Many times we let our circumstance dictate how we respond when we really need to say, Lord, I just want to live out for you. I want to be the way you want me to be. Sometimes what you're going through may not be what somebody else is going through. But do we season it that way? Do we become grumpy in that area? I believe intercession needs to be done with joy and strength. Yes, there are times there's an agony. You're speaking that through. But if you're praying according to God's will, He'll hear you and He'll see you through. I really believe this, as I've shared in other messages, joy needs to return to the church. It needs to return to the house of God. It needs to return to the people. We need to lead that area. Yes, I realize what's going on today, but the joy of the Lord is my strength. Not just when you get to heaven either. It's now. Jesus said He'd send the Holy Spirit in John 14, verse 16. I'll pray the Father, and He'll give you another helper, and He'll abide with you forever. For the church in John 17, verse 9, I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but all those You've given Me, those that are Yours. When Jesus prayed, He prayed, Lord, work in these areas. Father, I hold them up to You. But the Holy Spirit has come. Many times we don't even take advantage of that relationship. That if you have Christ in you, it's the hope of glory. That everything you need, everything you possess in you can live out through you. That you lack no good thing. When you got the Holy Spirit in you as your helper, as your paraclete, there's nothing you can't take on. Nothing you cannot handle. If Christ be in you, man, you're full of glory. It's time to let that radiant out. In Hebrews 7, verse 25, He's able to save to the uttermost those who come to God, for He forever lives to make intercession for them. Jesus is continually standing in the gap for us. We do also. For your families, put a prayer list together. Put it somewhere where you can have it till it's sown in your heart, that you can speak their names out one after another, holding them forth. Maybe somebody you know that you need to pray, hold them forth. Continue to bombard heaven for them. I've noticed that the more I pray for individuals, the more things happen for them. It's just true. And God can bring conviction anytime, anywhere. I had a conversation not too long ago that we were praying for an individual, and this person gave me a call and said, Pastor, I'm convicted. I'm convicted where I'm at. He was home. He's alone. And then I need to get my life right. The Lord can do that. He can do that on a mass scale too. The more the church intercedes, the more we'll see things happen. And I've seen this happen. The more we pray, more God's at work. It's not that He's lackadaisical or lazy, but He's waiting for somebody to stand in the gap. The problem is this, there was no man. And I marveled at that. In Isaiah 59, verse 16, I saw that there was no man, and I wondered why there was no intercessors. He wondered why there was no intercessors. Well, there's going to be intercessors today. We have to take our portion. Whether you're in this state or around this nation or around this world, you need to stand in that gap. You need to start to speak over your family, over those you love, over the city you live in, over the state you live in, over the country you live in, and really this world we live in. When God wondered there was no one to stand in the gap, man, we should say, no, there is somebody. In Isaiah 63, verse 5, I looked and there was no one to help, and I wondered why no one was upholding. He wants to bring that strong, that power in. But again, there was no one there. Today, I'm looking, seeing, well, Lord, give us favor. Give us grace. Give us ability. Because when God hears, He answers. And when He answers, He shows great and mighty things. In my prayer time, I'm speaking multiple generations being saved. I'll say that again. Multiple generations being saved, young and old. I want to see families from the youngest one in that family to the senior member in that family serving the Lord. And I believe He can do it. The Holy Spirit's able to work on multiple generations at a time. We're coming up to Father's Day soon. I got a great Father's Day message coming. But fathers, we need to step it up. Many times the women are the ones who've went to the prayer meetings. The women have been the ones that have held up the word of life. They've been the ones used in the gifts of the Spirit. Men, it's time, and I challenge you to rise up, to be that spiritual leader of your home, to begin to bring that life. I believe that God can bring a healing there. I believe families can be restored when men take their proper positions. That men, you can do it. There are some areas that you may need some wisdom on, but God will grant that. Many times it comes a step of faith, but do it. Take a, and it's not so much being dominant either. Not so much saying, this is the way I'm going to do it. It's a matter of being a servanthood to your family. And then you lead by example. When it comes to intercession, it undoes heavy burdens. I've met many today that are struggling with either depression or oppression, or you feel a sadness or an uncertainty today. I've met a lot of folks in that area that prayer interceding can unlock that, that it can go from a gloomy situation to joy unspeakable. When Isaiah 58 verse 6 says this, when you fast, this is what I've chosen you to fast for, to undo heavy burdens, to break the bonds of wickedness, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke. That's what the prayer is for, the fasting is for. We need to couple that. Once you've prayed, you don't see a breakthrough, couple some fasting with that. Fasting and prayer breaks that area. And to me, it's like the multiple ingredients. Like if you're making a pie, it takes certain ingredients. You're making some cookies, it takes ingredients. But if you add prayer, you add fasting, you add praise and put worship in there, and you spoon all that, mix all that together, believe me, prayers will be answered. Jesus set us an example on how we should pray, but we need to. Now, when it comes to the enemy, I've heard so many things on battling the enemy, but we need to bind the strong man. Jesus is the stronger one in us. Many times we have to come against that work. Many times we don't see what the enemy is doing, but we have to bind that strong man, as it says in Mark chapter 3, verse 27. When we bind that strong man, we can loose the power of God in those situations. When it comes to intercession, laborers are so important. I'm asking you to intercede like never before, but we need to pray for other intercessors. Wouldn't it be awesome that you come to church and every person that walked in was seeking the Lord? Well, that's just not reality. You need people that are in the world coming in, as well as seasoned saints. To me, a great church is new converts coming in, seasoned saints to help minister to them. To me, that's a church that never gets stale or just me club. But we need to pray for laborers. In Matthew chapter 9, verses 37, 38, we need to stand in the gap for laborers. It says, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest. Let's pray for more laborers across the board, across the nation, across this world. I know for a fact now we need missionaries sent to America. We've sent them out in every country in the known world. We need missionaries now right here at home. We need to pray for our next generation of young people. Whenever you go to a pastor's conference, most of them are gray-haired men, gray-haired women. There's no doubt about it. It's an aged group. But we need young men and women to rise up. They've got to put the calling upon them. And I believe the Lord is calling individuals, but they don't know how to respond. There isn't enough teachers in that area to encourage them in that. Congregations need to encourage young people that there are still Bible colleges. There are still ways you can get Bible degrees to grow in that area to take this. Because if the Lord should tarry and we all go the way of all flesh, who's going to fill the pulpits in this country? Who's going to lead the next generation in righteousness? That's our role too. We must invest in them. We must pray for them. And we must encourage them too to follow the call of God upon their life. Jesus said the laborers are there. We just got to pray. Lord, send them out. Put that calling on them. And then God will do a supernatural work. Jesus said this, my will be done. His will is labors to go forth. It is. In 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 13, when it talks about supporting, we need to make sure that we esteem others highly. And even for their work's sake. If you see somebody serving the Lord, encourage them in that area. Thank them. If you're hearing this message and you attend another church, drop your pastor a note. Say, hey, thanks for all that you do. Now, I'm not asking that personally. But I know for a fact that men and women of God need encouragement. Because as much encouragement that you'll speak to them, I guarantee you they're getting as much discouragement. from this, this, this. It's amazing how many times the enemy uses people as a mouthpiece. So encourage the pastor. Encourage those that are leaders. Say, hey, thank you for your labor of love. It doesn't go unnoticed. That little kind word brings great support, and it may encourage them through another breakthrough in their own personal life. In Revelation chapter 4, verse 11, it talks about, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, honor, and power. For you have created all things, and for your will they are and were created. That our total purpose is to glorify Him. That's the reason why we're on planet Earth. Not for a job or to get married. It's we've been created for His pleasure. When I fulfill that pleasure, I have pleasure. When I fulfill that pleasure, I'm complete in Him. I lack no good thing. Because when I'm in the flesh, I can't please God, according to Romans 8:8. And that is so true. The more I stay in the flesh, the more, I believe me, I cannot please the Lord. Now, if you would, go back to 1 Timothy chapter 2. I'm going to look at a few things. 1 Timothy 2. Turn back there for a minute. Start with verse 1. It says, therefore I exhort you that supplications, prayers, and intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men. We live in a society that we need to be giving thanks to, not only to God, but to people. For kings and all that are in authority, that we live a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Look at verse 4. Who desires all men, say all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. God's will is that all men to be saved. Now we know that not all will turn, but in His will, that's a truth. At the white throne judgment at the end of the age, this word will ring true, that God's will was those individuals who rejected that you be saved. It's going to add another layer of suffering, knowing that you could have had another way, that His way was that you change. His way was that you accept Christ. His way, that's His will. To me, knowing that you had another chance or another way to go and you blew it, adds to that pain and level. It adds to another place of torment. But we have to look and say, today, it's God's will for all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Look at verse 5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. There's one mediator. There's one go-between. Jesus said Himself, I'm the one, I'm the go-between between man and God. He's the one that paid the price. No one paid the price like Jesus did to restore this relationship. No one loved mankind. Jesus said, I will go myself and be that sacrifice. I will be that intercessor. I will be the one that stands in the gap between heaven and hell, between man and God, between this earth and heaven. He's the one that's there. In verse 6 says this, 1 Timothy 2, verse 6, who gave Himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time. He gave Himself. The payment that He paid for all. Now, if you knew you could have eternal life and it was free for the asking, wouldn't you want that? It's smart, yes. If you could be forgiven of all your sins and ask Jesus to be your Lord and He would do that, would you want that? Yes. The Bible says a fool says in his heart, there is no God. But when we know we've sinned, we need to know that there's a Savior, that He is ready. Well, Pastor, you don't know how much bad I've done. It doesn't matter. All sin is against God. And when you ask Him, Lord, forgive me of all my sins, He will do just that. Knowing that is awesome. Knowing that you could have a different day. Even today, if you're hearing this message and you need to get your life right with the Lord, ask Him. Ask Jesus, forgive me. Come into my life. Be my Lord and Savior. Forgive me of all my sins. And He will do just that. Knowing that that's a truth. Now, the enemy will try to persuade you otherwise. He'll try to get you off track. He'll try to say it doesn't work. But the truth is that it does. It does. He will work in you and through you. And when you receive Christ as your Savior, take that message to others. I shared always with the congregation that Jesus is the best kept secret, but we need to broadcast. We need to start speaking those areas. We're going to intercede for those in authority and for all men. Well, God wants to bring that saving knowledge to others. That when we stand in the gap, we come against the works of the enemy. We speak those words of life. The enemy has to flee. And when you can have somebody's understanding opened through prayer, man, it's easy to receive the message. As long as I've been a pastor, there are times I can see faith. I really can. I can see when somebody's just receiving the word, that engrafted word that's able to save the soul, and then they step out in that arena. Yes, I need the Lord. I want God to work. Touch me, Lord. Heal me. That God just meets them at that place. That expectation is there. Well, we also need that. If you attend another church, I want you to pray for the services, that when the message is given, people are ready to respond, that the entrance of his word gives understanding. There is so much to do. And if you have a whole lot of free time, to me, you need to spend a little more time in prayer. I know that seems rough, but that's just the truth. You need to pray and intercede. If you meet on Sunday in your service, then Saturday you need to be seeking the Lord too. Couple that in prayer. But Monday is a brand new day. Starts all over. Then start again on Monday. Imagine if you prayed all week for a move on Sunday. More miracles would manifest. The more we stand in the gap for others, the more things are going to happen. There's no doubt about it. That we're all anointed in this arena. I believe personally, you can lay hands on the sick and see them recover. That's scriptural. I didn't say it. He did. God did. But we need to exercise that. We need to exercise what we know. But God's looking for men and women to stand in the gap. Let's be counted in that area. If you haven't had a time or a personal devotion like this, start one now. It's not too late. And if we do, we will see a move of God like never before. My confession is this: I will see God move in the land of the living. I will see revival with my own eyes in this land while I'm here. That's my confession. I've read about revivals. I want to be in one. One where it changes society, where things are turned upside down because of God's power. And together we can see it done, church. Let's stand in that area and believe God. Stand in the gap today. Believe the Lord for great things. We'll see you soon. I hope you enjoyed this devotion this morning. God bless you. We'll see you soon.